Talked about the Jewish judiciary, and we talked about the king, and we talked about the Kohanim, the priests, the clergy of the Jewish people. And after having told us all the people whom we're supposed to listen to, the people who we're supposed to learn from, like the Kohanim, the people we're supposed to take direction from, like the Melech Yisrael, or the court system, we now learn about the people who might be in Israel, who we're not supposed to be listening to. This is how the Chizkuni explains the flow of the verses, the cadence of the verses. Today we're going to pick it up in the middle of the fourth reading, chapter 18, verse 9. The Torah says, Ki ata bo el ha'aretz. You are going to come to this land, asher Hashem alekecha nesein loch, that God is going to provide for you and give you. Lo silmad. You should not learn La'aseis ketoyavas hagoyim ha'aim, to learn from those other Gentile nations who are living there, the non-Jewish nations living there. What were those nations doing? First of all, le'silmad, we take a look in Rashi. He says you should not learn, and the emphasis is le'silmad la'aseis, you shouldn't learn to do. So there's an emphasis on learning to do, not just learning. So Rashi says, and otherwise you can learn. If you're not learning what to do, then it is okay. Says Rashi, Aval Ataleimid Lahavin Olahiris. You can learn for the purposes of knowing what they're about, so that you can give direction, as the Chachamim, as the sages taught, Kiloimar Lahavin Maasehem Kamahemikul Kolim. You can learn how rotten, how bad their behavior is. Olahiris Lavanecha, to be able to tell your children, Laisasa Chach Vakach, Shezeu Chayka Goyim. Do not do such and such. This is the statute of the non-Jewish nations. This is the way we don't do things. It's interesting that Rashi here doesn't go further. Rashi in Masechet Sanhedrin says that the Sanhedrin, the Jewish judiciary, had to learn about these things because witchcraft and sorcery and divination was very much a part of the fabric of ancient society, totally prohibited by the Torah. And in order to be able to administer justice and make sure that these things don't happen in the land of Israel, you have to have a clue of what you're talking about. So the Sanhedrin actually had to be aware of these things. And the Rabbeinu Bechaya, in his commentary on the Chumash, he does say that. He says, "Le'silmid la'aseis, you should not learn, so you should do. You'll follow through with action. But you should learn, the Sanhedrin should learn, so they should be able to rein this in and deal with it and prosecute it appropriately. What is it? And now we go through a litany of different forms of prohibited divination. Verse number 10, Lo yimotzei v'cho ma'avir b'noi u'bitoi be'esh koisem. You should not have amongst you a person who is going to bring his children through a fire. This was a central feature in the cult worship known as Molech, and they would bring a child through, pass the child through the fire. Doesn't mean they would burn him, just pass him through. So that's something which is prohibited. The Torah says further, one is not permitted to be involved in me'onen, which is a person who consults various forms of divination, menachesh or mechashev. Let's take a look in Rashi. Sorry, I skipped a word. Kosem ksamim, to use divinations, whether it's like a sticks or other thing like that, we'll learn in a moment. Me'onen means divination through times which are auspicious or not. Menachesh is a person who's could be an illusionist, possibly, or could be a diviner who interprets various omens. And finally, a mechashev is a sorcerer, a divining sorcerer. Rashi goes into detail here. Ma'avir b'nei u'bitei ba'esh, hi avodas ha-molech. This was the central feature in the idolatry, the cult known as Molech, which is mentioned already in the book of Leviticus in chapter 18. And they did not actually burn their children. That's a misnomer. They didn't burn the children in fire. However, what they would do is, oisa, they would make two madures of esh, they would make two big bonfires, mikan on either side, umaviroi, and they would pass their children, either their sons or their daughters, bein shteyem, between the fires. And in this way, they proverbially or symbolically gave their children over into the cult worship of Molech, passing through the fire of Molech. Kosim ksamim, so Rashi says, what does that mean, kesim? What does it mean? When we talk about what kind of divination is this? Ezel kosim. Our sages ask the question, what is a kosim? And the sages answer, ha'ichas es maklei, somebody who holds his rod or his staff, They move their sticks this way, that way. I think there's actually a name for it, a certain kind of stick which falls one way or falls the other way. Similarly, he says, the Navi Hosea laments, he says, Ami be'etzoi yishol. My nation now has fallen to moral deprivation. They ask the stick, they ask the rod, Makli Yagadli, his staff, tells him what to do instead of the Torah. What is a ma'onin? So we have a dispute. Our sages argue what exactly this is. Rabbi Akiva said, Elu neisne oynes, these are the people who place auspicious times for certain kinds of behavior, and they're compelled to do things at certain times. She'emrim oyne plainis yafala haskel, this is the right time to begin, or not the right time to begin business. V'chachamim emrim, our sages say, this is Elu echze naim, these are people who involve themselves in magical illusions. Well, the illusionist in today's day and age, everybody knows he's full of baloney. The question is, how does he do it? It's amazing, a very talented guy to be able to, or a woman, to be able to pull it off. But once upon a time, when people would play these optical illusions and they would trick people, they would actually tell people that they are God. And they would actually tell people that they should worship idols and so on and so forth. So that form of illusionist is a form of idolatry. Many years ago, I was once on a television show, and the television show's subject was, is there proof that there exists a God? That was the television, that was the theme. So I always try to go last with these things. So there was a guy, I think he was called a sadhu, I don't know, something like from the Hindu guy. He said that his, I don't remember the name he called for him, but his, you know, chief diviner, the guy, he saw him make gold statues fall into his hand out of nowhere. I'm like thinking to myself, you don't say, like really? He's just a magician. Like he plays optical illusions. You think he makes gold come out of thin air? He'd be a rich man if he could do that. Who wouldn't make gold come out of thin air? And this guy actually believed it. This guy said, you see, it's powers of the gods. I remember thinking of this Rashi. I said, okay, it's actually people believe this. They actually think that it works that way. Anyway, a lot of interesting things happened that afternoon, but let's focus on the Chumash. So this is the idea of Ech Zeinayim. That was the opinion of the sages. Menachesh, what's a Menachesh? What kind of diviner is this? Pite Nafle Mipiv, something falls, his bread falls out of his mouth while he's eating, and he says, oh, that's a sign that today I have to do X, Y, and Z. Tzvi hifsike bederech, a deer crossed his path. So he says, okay, now I can't go here because a deer crossed my path. Or makli nafla miyadei, if my staff fell out of my hand. So this is like today's day and age, you know, walking under a ladder, or a black cat crossing, or the 13th floor, or some mishigas like this. Superstitions, yeah. V'choy v'chover. Verse 11, Chayver Chaver is a snake or scorpion diviner. V'shoyel oy v'yadayni, this is a diviner who speaks through various mechanisms of like propping up a human corpse and puts a bird, shoyel oy v'yadayni, an animal or a bird called Yadoni in his mouth and uses it and speaks through it. And finally, Deida Shalamesim, the person who seeks to communicate with the dead. What does this mean? So Rashi tells us that Chaver Chaver is Mitzarif Nechoshim Yakavim. He brings together snakes to scorpions, or Shar Chayas L'makim Echad, and he seeks to be a charmer, charm these snakes and so on and so forth. There are actually cult leaders who do things like this. One of them got killed recently because the snake actually bit him. But some of the things still actually even exist. V'shoyel oiv, what's a shoyel oiv? Here Rashi says, Zeh mechashefes shesomu pitaim, sheshmai pitaim, umedaber meshechi. This is sorcery, a witchcraft, in which they bring voices out of their armpits. Don't ask me. Umayles hameis bebeis hashechi shlei. They take a corpse and they kind of, I guess, embrace it and try to bring voices up, the voice of the dead, through the corpse. V'yidoini, amachnes etzem chayesh shmo yadua, this is a person who puts the bone of an animal called the yadua l'tech piv, u'medaber ha'etzem, and then as if the bone starts clacking or talking by itself. So, you know, maybe this is what people say, they speak in languages, they go into a trance and speak in languages. V'dedishol ha'mesim, dedishol ha'mesim, kigren ha'mayle b'zachrusay, this would mean, for example, somebody takes a corpse and he puts it on his male organ. Yeah, pretty sick. Or ha'nishol b'gogoylis, a person who brings incense or whatever in front of a skull and tries to get the skull to talk to him. So all of this is forms of witchcraft which the Torah prohibits. The Rambam says that Deidah Shalom Mesim is a person who goes to the cemetery and stars himself. Stars himself to the point where basically to the point of exhaustion. And then when he's at the point of exhaustion, when he's in like a barely normal state of consciousness, when he's like in this almost subconsciousness, then he believes he'll be able to communicate with the dead and so on and so forth. There's a fascinating Gemara in Sanhedrin, Rabbi Akiva, when he came to this pasuk, he wept. And he said, imagine, there's people who are prepared to starve themselves. Shatishra aleim ruach tumah, so that a spirit of impurity will come upon them. He says, how much more so if a person would make the effort that a ruach tara, that a spirit of holiness and closeness Hashem would come upon him, but he's ready to make the effort to bring about the negativity, but not ready to make the effort for closeness to Hashem. At any rate, this was, and in some ways still is, an issue that people contend with and struggle with and deal with, and it is outright prohibited. The Torah says, Ki sayavas Hashem kol oisei ela, doing anything like this, going to seances and using Ouija boards, and doing any form of trying to connect to the netherworld or the spirits or the dead and communicate with them and get them to tell you things, is absolutely abominable. And the Torah says, Beglal ha-teveisa ela, because of these abominations, Hashem elikecha meidash oisei mepanecha. It is precisely because this is the kind of spirituality they were involved in, that is why God drove them from the land of Israel. Of this, you understand that if we want to stay in the land of Israel, we can't do things like this. Kol Eise Eile, Rashi says, Eise Kol Eile Lenemer. Those who do all of these things, it doesn't say. Because you don't have to do all of them. Ela Kol Eise Eile, anybody who does any of them. Kol Mi Af Sha'ise, anybody who does Afilo Achaz Man, even one of these things. He basically earns himself this notion that he doesn't deserve to belong to be in the Holy Land of Eretz Yisrael anymore. That's how serious it is. So, people still do this. Don't fool yourself. There's still an issue. And, you know, I had a huge dispute right here in Thornhill that the lady wrote a book, how she dealt with her grief. And a key piece of it is going to this lady who makes seances and claims to communicate with her mother who had died and so on and so forth. And it's like, this is not acceptable. You can't speak here. This is Kol Teves Hashem Kol Eisele. The Torah calls this abomination. The Torah calls this Pashat profoundly wrong. It's a Chil Hashem. Anyway, it didn't go over well. They're not very, very happy with me, but I need Hashem to be happy with me. This is just plain, simple, wrong and un-Jewish. And the fourth reading finishes off with the idea, Tomim Tia Im Hashem Alikecha. You should be a Tomim. What does this mean? So Rashi says, Tomim Tia means, this pasuk says, His halachim ebeklimus. You should walk with God with sincerity, wholeheartedness. V'titzapeloi. You should, so to speak, accept His providence. You should don't sit and worry about the future and foretelling the future and how will I know this and how will I know that. You have to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you to do. You have to simply follow the straight and narrow. You'll be wholehearted with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nobody asked you to know the future. Nobody asked you to predict what tomorrow will bring. Nobody asked you to communicate with the dead. You have a job, and that is to follow Hashem's Torah. That's what you should do. And that's the meaning of Tom Tineshim Hashem. The Kecha Rashi says, Titzap Eloi, your anticipation should be towards Him. Leitachker achar hasidis, do not sit and try to investigate the futures. Ela kol masha yovei alecha, whatever Hashem brings upon you, kabel betmimis, you accept it wholehearted, in a wholehearted fashion. Oz, and then if you'll do that, if you'll have perfect faith in Hashem and accept what Hashem gives you, then you will be with Him, then you will be, so to speak, have a portion of God. So the interesting thing is that if you look in Ramban says, you look in the Unkelus first of all, Unkelus says, Shlim tihi bidechalta, you should be whole or perfect in your reverence. In other words, Unkelus interprets the word as whole, perfect. And Ramban says the same thing. Ramban follows Unkelus and he says, Shenihim shleimim beyira. We should be perfect in our reverence for Hashem. So if you're perfect in your reverence for Hashem, you won't pay attention elsewhere. Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi specifically emphasizes the concept of wholehearted sincerity. And the question that we're going to try to address today is, why does Rashi depart from Unkelus, whom he usually follows? Why doesn't Rashi say like Ramban, when that seems to be the pshuta yishol mikra, the natural, straightforward way of understanding this, and instead seems to talk about something which hasn't been heard of prior? In the Biurim book in Pei Reish Chaf Hei, Simen Hei, the Rebbe says, Yesh Lishol, we could ask, Hamusag Tomim, the notion, the concept, the idea, the word of Tomim, Mefia kvar bekosav v'mekaymes kaidimim. It has already shown up multiple times in the Chumash, long before we get to the middle of Deuteronomy. We have, for example, in the very second parsha, in the first pasuk of the second parsha, it says, Noach ish tzadik, Noach was a righteous person, and the Torah goes on to say he was tamim haya, he was whole or perfect, bidorotav in his generations. Right there you go. Rashi says nothing. He doesn't talk about wholeheartedness, he doesn't talk about sincerity, he doesn't talk about simplicity. He says tamim means, what do you mean tamim? He doesn't say anything. Tamim means right, perfect, whole. That's what tamim means. Or we have a pasuk in a parsha later in Lech Lecha where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram Avinu that he should have a bris milah, and Hashem says to him, Hishalech lefanai, walk before me, veheyei samim, and you should be intact, be perfect, have it all right. Rashi says nothing. Rashi does not find any need, is not compelled in any way, shape, or form to clarify, to explain, to elucidate the meaning of tamim. You understand what tamim means? Tamim means whole. It means whole. It means perfect. But all of a sudden, in Parsha Shoftim, where it says tamim tiyam Hashem Elokecha, this time God is talking to us as a nation, and Rashi suddenly chooses to explain to us, his halech imoy betmimus, doesn't mean being perfect, it means sincerity and wholeheartedness. Tetzap Eloi, you should accept, trust in Him, accept His providence. If that's what it means, why didn't Rashi explain this about Noach? Why didn't tell us Noach was a tamim, that he was a wholehearted, sincere person who didn't try to figure out what tomorrow would bring, but rather just listen to Hashem? Why didn't Rashi explain that what Hashem wanted from Avraham Avinu was not to be involved in the machinations of sorcery, but rather that he should be wholehearted and sincere, if that's what it means? Vabir b'zeh. Whoever doesn't ask it, but I think we could ask the question, why does he depart from Unkelus? Unkelus says that. Ramban says that. So the Rebbe says, the truth is, Pirush HaMila Tomim, the meaning of the word Tomim B'Sha'ar Mekoymes, is Shalim. Does mean whole. It does mean perfect. And where do we find an example? Throughout the book of Leviticus, we talk about a Karban that is a Tomim. What does a Karban Tomim mean? A sincere animal? A wholehearted goat? Is such a thing? It means a korban shegufei shalom. It means an animal who is a perfect specimen. His body is whole and he has no blemishes. That's what it means. Vehi mita'eres, that would represent Adam hamasul HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a person who is devoted, dedicated, and loyal to Hashem to the point of shleimus. Does all the mitzvahs, never misses a single one, crosses every I, proverbially dots every T, pardon me, proverbially dots every I. He never misses a moment. We're talking here about a perfect Jew. A Jew with a perfect scorecard. Does everything. You name it, he did it. That's a tamim. Just like an animal. A tamim means a perfect animal. All right, so if that's the way we understood tamim, a Noach, and that's the way we understood Tumim with Avram, because Avram was perfect for what, except for one thing. He didn't do one of the mitzvahs. He did 612 mitzvahs. Which mitzvah didn't he keep? The mitzvah of Bris Milah. He was waiting for a commandment. Hashem says, okay, now you're 99. Now it's time to have a perfect scorecard. Till then he kept 612. Now you got 613. Now you keep all the mitzvahs. That's what it means typically. And Rashi doesn't have to say anything, because everybody knows that Tumim means perfect. However, Rashi has a problem when it gets to Parsha Shoftim. And the problem is that we shared many, many times, we talk about this in our classes, the notion that Rashi does not only explain the meaning of the word, he does not only busy himself and bother himself with grammar, he also has to explain syntax. If there's a cadence of verses, one verse has to flow into the next, it has to make sense. You cannot simply focus on a word in isolation, or even a sentence in isolation, because everything has to fit into a bigger picture. There's a bigger, so to speak, panorama here. And in these particular psukim, the pasuk tamim tia im Hashem alekecha, the verse you should be tamim with Hashem your God, ba behem shichlo psukim akoidmim. Verse 13 comes a continuation of verse 9, 10, 11, and 12. What do they talk about? Behem, in those verses, Mayfiyim Rishima Shalisurim, there is a list of prohibitions. What does the Torah say? We just read it. You shall not have amongst you somebody who passes children through the Moloch fire. Somebody's trying to communicate with the dead. What is the intimation? What's the meaning of these verses? It is Al Taver Al Isurim Elu. Do not violate these prohibitions. Ella, rather, Leich B'derech Menugedes. Go in the opposite fashion. You should be against all of this. What's the polar opposite of not doing this? The opposite is Tom Tiyah V'Shem Lekecha. You should be perfect. Now, 1 second. These verses don't speak about imperfection. They speak about a specific kind of behavior in which a person seeks intuition from non-holy places, from idolatrous sources. And the person is looking to know the future. He's Deida Shalom Mason, not because he's not having a perfect scorecard. He keeps 612 mitzvahs. Oh, one mitzvah he dropped. He likes talking to the dead. One mitzvah he's not careful of. He loves bringing his children to the Moloch fire. But otherwise, he does all the things right. So therefore, this is an example of somebody who doesn't do all the mitzvahs. No, ridiculous. That's not the meaning of the previous psukim. It's not highlighting for you and emphasizing a person who keeps all the mitzvahs, save one or two. Rather, it's emphasizing for you a person who seeks alien spirituality. He's looking for different forms of higher consciousness. He's looking for divination. Divination which the Torah outright prohibits. And so what's the opposite of this? Tam tiyeh l'Hashem Elokecha. Here, the Rebbe says, Rashi has a problem. Ein ze miskabel al hadas. It doesn't make any sense to say that after going through verse 9, 10, 11, 12, that verse 13 is speaking about tamim shalim. Be perfect. In other words, Adam HaMasr LaKadosh Baruch Hu, that what's the opposite of doing all these forms of divination, sorcery, witchcraft, and alien spirituality? The opposite is, well, just be a good Jew. Keep all the mitzvahs. Don't even miss a single one. The verses prior speak about a kindred form of prohibitions, a whole bunch of prohibitions. But all of them have an emphasis, they share a common root in that all of them seek to be able to connect to other spirits, to connect to shamans, to connect to another world, to connect to souls or to ghosts. That's what we're talking about here. This is not about Shemitah's Kol HaMitzvahs. The verses prior don't speak about keeping all the mitzvahs or keeping some of the mitzvahs. There is a pasuk in the Torah, last week's parasha, Kol HaMitzvah. There are ideas of all the mitzvahs. That's not what these psukim are speaking about. These psukim are speaking about specific forms of perverted spirituality. L'chein mefarash Rashi. Therefore, Rashi actually departs from what he probably thought you would understand typically up until this point. Up until this point, when you read about Noach that he was tamim, what did you read about? Noach was a perfect person. Did everything Hashem wanted, didn't mess around. Avraham Avinu was missing a mitzvah. God says, Hayei Tamim, now you should have a perfect scorecard. Now do this too. The carbon that's a Tamim, a sincere carbon, a wholehearted sheep, obviously that's not what it means. It means for sure whole and perfect. However, at this juncture, where the Torah introduces verse Tamim Tiyah V'Shem Lekecha, verse 13, following the verses that preceded it, here it must mean cannot be Adam Hanoyeg Shalim, but rather Adam Hanoyeg B'Tmimus, a person who behaves in a manner of Tmimus. Now the cadence of the verses will make perfect sense. One does flow into the other. The Torah very, very specifically and clearly ordains that we not follow the manner of wizardry and sorcery and witchcraft and alien forms of spirituality. And don't look for the future. Ella, rather, linig b'tmimis. Serve Hashem wholeheartedly. Yisalachim b'tmimis. Al tachker achrasides. You follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Do not obsess over the future. Do not seek alien forms of spirituality. And as long as you follow and listen to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you, so then tia, you'll be, as Rashi says, im Hashem alikecha, then you'll be with Hashem Yivgad, imoy ulechelkoy, then we have a portion in the God of Israel. And that was relevant in those days, and that is relevant today. And for us, B'nai B'nai Yisrael, there is one form of spirituality, and that is the Torah and its mitzvahs. And if we hold fast to the Torah and the mitzvahs, then this is the only way for us to have a real spiritual experience. It is the only valid way for us to be able to enter into a meaningful relationship with that which is beyond what we can see, hear, feel, and touch in a tangible fashion. And that concludes today's class.